The major teaching in the Gospels from Jesus that the church has labeled as the Sermon on the Mount, and it's found in Matthew. It covers three chapters, 5, 6, and 7, and it's a fairly extensive and jarring teaching that comes from Jesus. And it's called Sermon on the Mount because it was up on a mountainside or a hillside where he gathered his disciples. And there was other people that were sitting there around with him, and he delivered this teaching. And it's really, he lays out the framework or the essence of what the kingdom is, of what he was bringing. And his call to follow and to be his disciple is actually a call to go almost counter to the way culture goes. It's that jarring. It's sort of like traveling eastbound on the 401 in the westbound lanes. Scary. Seriously, when you take a look at some of his teachings, you go, "Oh my gosh, what are you thinking?" Then back in when we started this series, I asked you, I put a question out to you, that any serious student of the Bible, to understand Scripture, what are the three most important principles in understanding Scripture? I asked you that question, and the answers that came back were right. It was context, 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 right? Understanding the story that surrounds what we read in Scripture. Okay, so that would entail things like, do you understand the history? Do you understand the author who wrote it? Do you understand the genre of the writing? So you got historical books in there, like history books. You have letters. You have poetry. You have wisdom books. You have different types of literature that need to be read different ways. Do you understand who it was written to? Do you understand the why? It's knowing that, because when you understand that, you have a good chance of understanding what the essence of what is being said. And that's really important when it comes to reading the Gospels and Jesus' teaching, because simply taking a sentence out of the middle of a Gospel and going, this is what God's Word says, you're probably wrong when you read it out of context. You probably misread, misunderstood. That's why context is so important. How many here would agree? Okay, so I'm going to read a passage to you. It's found in Matthew 7:1-6. And remember, all of these little teachings throughout the sermon are anchored. You can follow the thread back to the introduction, which is what we call the Beatitudes. But those Beatitudes set the foundation for everything that Jesus teaches on. The Beatitudes are Matthew 5:1-12, but that's where this is tied to, tethered. And Jesus says, do not judge others, and you will not be judged, for you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. That's jarring, by the way. That should shake you a bit. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? And how can you think of saying to your friend, hey, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye, when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite. First get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with a speck in your friend's eye. Don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. They will trample the pearls, then turn around and attack you. Now, it's one thing to read Scripture out of context. It's a total another thing to read a person's life out of context. And I hope you heard what I've said. It's one thing to read something out of context, but to read a person's life out of context is devastating, and that is exactly what Jesus is getting to in this passage here about don't judge. Get away from that. Run from that. Have you ever noticed you could meet someone for the first time and you get to know them or you see them, you know? Maybe it's a 5-minute talk, maybe it's a half hour talk, and you come away going, you subconsciously pigeonhole them somewhere. We do. We pigeonhole people. You know, and then just the little voice in the back of your head, just, you know, you've pegged them somewhere. And in the same time, you've pegged yourself. You put yourself somewhere, too, in some sort of category. And generally, we're wrong about that person when we have some idea of when we think of what they're all about. And the reason is because we don't know their backstory, which is we read them out of context because of all the other things that have gone on in their life. And we have leveled as Jesus would say, we've leveled a judgment on them. We've said, this is what this person is all about, is what we've said. We haven't understood the backstory. And that's because generally all we ever see of a person is what's on the outside, generally. If you get to know someone, you get to see what's on the inner part, on the inside. Counselors would see that with people a lot. They would see the inside, what others don't see. And isn't it amazing? Have you ever found that when you hear somebody's story, all of a sudden you see them differently? Have you ever noticed that? You might have met them once, thought whatever you thought of them, and then you hear their story, you sit down and listen to where they've come from, listen to what they're struggling with, and you go, wow, unbelievable. Unbelievable. All of a sudden there's compassion there. And that's the point of what Jesus is trying to get at. You see, because here's the thing, as far as when it comes to the backstory. I don't know what your hidden dreams are. I don't know what makes you happy, what makes you sad. I don't know what you're afraid of. I don't even know what you think when you go to bed at night. I don't know what you think with the first thing when you wake up in the morning. I don't know the wounds and the scars you've carried from childhood. I have no idea. I have no idea what someone said to you, how it impacted you, and how that impacts you now for the rest of your life. I have no idea. And yet, here's what Jesus is getting at. For some reason, I think I have the authority or the right to make a judgment about you. Where does that come from, that I think I have that right? Because I don't. I don't have that right. Because what do we base it on? What do we base it on? You know what we base it on? We base it on what you're wearing. We base it on what we've observed from you. We base it on your gender, right? We base it on skin color. We base it on your wealth or lack thereof. We base it on so many different things. And we go, because we have observed this or we've heard someone else say this about you, therefore, for some reason we feel we have a right. And Jesus is going, actually, you don't know. You don't know the backstory. So you're going to get it wrong when you pigeonhole somebody. You're going to get it wrong. Now, as far as when it comes to judging, here is something we need to understand. Jesus is not talking about an incident, a behavior, the way you acted at one point at a specific time. Because as far as behaviors go, they do get judged. We do judge behaviors. Okay? Jesus isn't talking about that. He is talking about here about determining a person's worth, a person's value. That's what he's talking about. For those who have just wandered in, good to have you here with us. You're right in the middle of, you've missed the intro, the best part, so now you got to come through the harder part. But it's good to have you guys here. But in the whole, and we're talking about judging, about being judged. But the problem is that we determine a person's worth, and it's based on my criteria, my standard that I have set. It's what you do. Because what other standard are you basing it on? It's how you see things. It's do they rate my standard? That's what's going on in judging. That's what's going on. And at the end of the day, only God has the authority to judge because only God knows a person's heart. Now, when I judge, it's usually because I've observed one thing or two things. That one thing or two things is a speck compared to everything that has gone on in your life. It's one little speck. And that need for me to judge comes from all the little specks, the gazillion specks that make up this log that's in my eye. That's what Jesus is talking about. You're putting a judgment on someone, on one thing or two things, when you don't know their backstory, and your life is just as messed up as well, Scott. And you got this log, and until you get rid of all that, you can't go around judging where someone rates their value system. You can't do that. That's what Jesus is getting at when he talks about you try to get the speck out of your friend's eye when you got this log in your own eye. And he's talking about, come on, seriously? You don't know. You don't understand. You don't understand. Now here's a question for you. Have you ever had someone render a judgment against you? I'm not talking about in court. I'm talking about something's been said, emailed, could have been on Facebook, could have been anywhere, and a judgment's rendered. How do you feel? If I gave you time to think about that, and I don't want to take a lot of time for you to think about that, but you can think about it. But when I thought about it, when I pondered this, the feeling I had was, it was a feeling of injustice done to me. That's what it feels like, an injustice. I feel I feel devalued. I would use language, there's a feeling of being defrauded in the judgment. Because there's that thing of, you don't know me, why would you say that about me? Why would you say that? Because it's a feeling of, makes me feel that I haven't measured up. Terrible feeling. And you see, judgment makes a person less than what God had intended. That's what judgment does to a person. It makes you less than what God had intended. And in the kingdom of heaven, and in the kingdom of God, what Jesus was coming to say was, in the kingdom, everybody's equal. You can't, in the kingdom, people are equal. That's why you hear the phrases from Jesus that says, unless you are greater than, you know, the least person in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. Why? Because Jesus doesn't rate people on a scale. It's equal. We rate, and when we rate, we always rate wrong. We always get it wrong. And the point is, you are a treasure in God's eyes. I am a treasure. We are created in His image. And what God doesn't want is for people to be devalued. He doesn't want people to be defrauded. And as you read through the Gospels, you'll see Jesus never, ever defrauded people. He never brought people down. Addressed behavior all the time. Honored people all the time. All people were honored, whether they were poor, sick, rich, whatever. And that's how He sees you. Valuable. And when you understand that, It also equips you in how to deal with a judgment that comes your way. And the principle that gets you need to apply, and I've named it this. This isn't any official principle, but I've called it Frank's principle. Anybody know Frank's principle? No? Really? Where have you been? No. I've just called it that from this story. And this is it's just a story, just made up. I didn't make it up. I don't know who made it up. Whoever made it up is brilliant, but it's a good story. Good point. Mildred was a small-town gossip, and she was also the self-appointed police of the church moral code. And she was always one who stuck her nose into other people's business. And most of the members of the congregation, they did not approve of her behavior. They did not approve of her gossiping, and they did not approve of her sticking her nose in, but they were afraid of her because she may smear them, so they just remained silent. And then one day, Mildred probably went just a little bit too far or tangled with the wrong person. And you see, Frank, he was a new member of the church. And one day, Mildred accused Frank of being an alcoholic. She did that because she had observed his old pickup truck parked in front of O'Flannery's bar all afternoon one day. And she was shocked that here's a member of our church, and we know what he's doing. And she emphatically told Frank in front of several other people that everyone seeing that pickup there would know what he was doing and would know that he was an alcoholic. And how dare he? But Frank was a man of few words. And Frank stared at Mildred, then turned and walked away. He didn't say anything, didn't defend himself, didn't explain it, said nothing, just turned and walked away. And then later that evening, Frank got in his pickup truck, drove down to Mildred Street, drove his truck right down, parked it in front of her house, got out, locked the door, went home, and left it there all night. That's Frank's principle. You see, Frank refused to accept Mildred's judgment. And I would say he did that. He was able to do that because he knew who he was. He knew he was loved by God. He knew that. And he didn't have to let that tear him down, tear him apart, question his integrity. He didn't have to do that. He knew the infinity of God's love. And Jesus, in his little teaching on judging, speaks to that in that one final sentence that puzzles everybody. It's that sentence there. Jesus says, don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. They will trample the pearls, then turn and attack you. And if you read different commentaries, you'll read different interpretations of that passage. Some people can't figure out if maybe Matthew made a just plunk something in the middle. They can't figure out if it's tied to another error passage. They can't whatever. And I've always believed that Jesus was brilliant. He was a brilliant rabbi, as most rabbis were. And he knew how to use words. He knew how to tell stories. He knew how to make a point. And I firmly believe that when he says, don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy, he's talking about us. He is talking about that people who are followers of Christ, people who are following after Christ, you're holy, not because of your behavior, but because Jesus makes you holy. You are of value. You are of value. A person is of value, and you don't give yourself to a judgment. You don't open your heart, expose your heart to have that judgment come in. Don't do that, because when you do that, that kills. A judgment kills. Have you ever felt encouraged and edified when someone has winged a zinger at you? I've never felt encouraged. You feel lower than a snake belly, right? You're just low. And Jesus says, don't do it. Don't open yourself. Don't expose yourself to that. Don't. Don't play that game. Don't play that judging game. Not in judging, nor in receiving the judgment. Trust yourself to your Father in heaven. Trust Him. Trust Him. We are holy, guys, because we are loved by God. Not because you live a good life. You are holy because He loves you. And we are called to live a life, a way of life, to follow Jesus. And I believe following Jesus while jarring and difficult is a way to go. It's a way of mercy and grace and compassion. How we see others, how we view others, and how He views you. That He loves you. And that's what He's called us to. That's what He's called us to. So, you know what you can do today? You can just take judging, toss it out the window. Just don't do it. Just don't engage in it, and don't receive it. Don't play the game. Just walk away. Understand backstories. I believe we would be amazed if we could hear people's backstories, what they've gone through, what they've experienced. I believe we would see people in a whole different light, totally different light. I'm sure of it. I'm sure of it. Let's pray. Father, Lord, there's a call here, Father, of as we pursue you, as we long to follow you, as we long to walk in your ways, there is a call here, Father, to see people on equal ground. To see people on a level playing field. And Father, it is so difficult to do that. Our insecurities get in the way. Our fears get in the way. Our not knowing other people's stories get in the way. And Father, for whatever reason, Lord, we pigeonhole people. Lord, we need new eyes, Lord. Lord, we need new eyes. We need fresh eyes to see each other, to see one another. And Lord, we just pray for your kingdom to come. We just pray for it to come, Lord. Help us, Lord, to see through fresh eyes, to see one another. Through your eyes, Lord. We say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit.